Our gospel reading today comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter. God will fulfill God's purposes, and already hidden signs of the fulfillment abound. On that great day, there will be dismay, perplexity, confusion, and terror. But God's people shall be given strength to stand boldly and to receive God's promised redemption.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and of the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." He told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that the day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of this whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all of these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, today, knowing about the end times, we live in a time where we have the past and the future. I hear stories all the time about how different people view the thought of the end times. Some people would say that it's actually an apocalypse that is to come. We have full denominations that worry about the apocalypse, and it's their job to save people from the time of the apocalypse. It's hard for me to listen to those stories when I understand that scriptures are in their historical context and not necessarily in the future context as some would understand it and have that fear. Every generation of Christian since Christ has believed that they would be the last generation, the generation that our gospel is talking about in today's reading. And they have all been wrong about the end times. Or really were they? I know that the end of times will come for all of us on the day that we will pass into the church triumphant. So we will all have our end days. Again, I have said that as Lutherans, we believe that we are already for the last days and want to live like today is the last day of our lives. We want to live and be ready. So it's a good day to die and to be okay with the knowing of the passing of our time and the coming of our Lord. Over the years in ministry, I have witnessed the final gifts of those who were about to pass on into the church triumphant. As far as the special awareness of the communications that we have with the dying, they offer some special gifts to us. There are countless stories that I can tell you about those who are here in the present, looking into the past, yet striving for the days that are yet to come. One of my favorite books that I have shared with people is on this subject. It's called Final Gifts. And I shared with those people who have loved ones that are struggling with long sicknesses or dementia. There's really something to this, I think, looking into the past, the present, and the future at the same time. I do have copies I'm going to bring to the church tomorrow. So if you're interested in reading this book, or if you have been in a situation or have this in your situation, your family, the book is actually really comforting. One of my first stories of final gifts occurred in my first call. It was a woman who I visited in the nursing home on a regular basis, and it was only a few days before she passed away when she heard her father calling to her during the night. When I visited her in the nursing center, she said his voice was so clear that she answered and struggled to get up to see if he was literally standing right there next to her. I knew that this was a sign that she would spend her final days in life in a twilight blended with that past and present. At first, I corrected her, but I soon accepted that her recollections of her that day about people that have been long since dead, with whom she has chatted with, and places that were a faraway time and a distance that she had just recently visited. I often wondered about if she heard her father's call again that quiet December night when she finally passed away. I call this the twilight time in one's life. People usually define this time as the time between dawn and sunrise, or between sunset and dusk. Folk tales sometimes call it the time between times, the enchanted moments at dusk and dawn, when the veil between this world and the world within us or beyond us is very thin, and we seem to breathe its air, that very thin place. I felt it when I held my granddaughter for the very first time. She may have felt it as she slept, dreaming of the watery subterranean that she had just left, that between the worlds. The church exists to remind us that we live in a time between times, between what is dying and what is being born, between the already of Christ's reign and the not yet that we know of Advent, for the time of the coming of the baby Christ child and the time of the end times, the second coming of Christ. And today we enter this new season, the season of Advent 2024, where we are preparing to wait. But again, what are we waiting for? I think we are preparing for the coming of the Lord, yes. But both the past birth of Jesus and the end times where we will see Jesus again. I don't know how else to explain this raw sense of emotion when I hear the words of comfort like those of Jeremiah directed to the distant peoples run over by ancient history, or when I first hear the sense of hope and eternal promises to exiled peoples of the past. History seems to repeat itself over and over again. In the Old Testament reading for today, it's from Jeremiah. And let's take a moment as I read that again. It says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the house of Israel, the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved from, and Jerusalem will live in safety, and its name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness," or literally, justice. There's a lot of hope going on in that passage, because there is a sense of emotion, because that is the beginning of the devastation and exile of the ever-contemporary realities that allow us to enter our own holy moments of hope. This is the first Advent candle that we lit today, symbolizing the hope that comes from the Christ child of the past, present, and future. Both Jeremiah and Jesus, separated by 6 centuries, stood on the streets of Jerusalem and announced its destruction. The Old Testament reading was an announcement that gave them no pleasure. It brought them both to tears. A prophet is known for what time it is. Jeremiah knew that it was evening, time for Jerusalem's inhabitants to let go of their hold on misleading hopes, the hope for better days, because alliances, their piety, and their pipe dreams for sunnier prophets. Jeremiah didn't bring them a very good news, though, because there was a futile against all their gathering darkness. It was the end and the destruction of Solomon's temple in 586 B.C., the beginning of the Babylonian exile, where the inhabitants of Jerusalem went into exile and everything was destroyed. His prophets, his words came true. After a long and terrible night, said Jeremiah, a brilliant morning would come to draw, and a generation of God's people would wake up in safety in a place named called Justice. In other words, there will be better days ahead. And then there's the Gospel of Luke. Luke is writing to the Gospel after the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Roman Empire that destroyed it in 70 CE. The people of God were straining towards hope, looking for some better days. They needed to believe in the hidden victory of God. So Luke writes that Jesus says that there will be signs visible in the sun, the moon, and the stars, that the nations will be distressed and confused by the roaring seas, and someone is coming, and the heavens will be shaken. So the believers were to look up and raise their heads, and the heavens will be shaken. Luke, whose audience knew the destruction of Jerusalem, took pains to separate Jesus' words of warning about the event from his warnings and about the struggles of the end times. So Luke redirects Jesus' words to his followers and at all times and places to sing this melody of Advent that we have today here, 2,000 years later. And whatever destruction we experience is neither permanent or ultimate, because our redemption is drawing near. So what does that mean for us today, who are all in the future of the past, but yet not yet future? Our redemption is coming. Well, we can do exactly what the gospel is calling us to do, is I think what the call for today is, to be on guard, to be alert, to watch and to pray, because the earth is shaking, heaven is rattling, the advent of Jesus who will bring justice and beauty that we and the entire world are craving. Like, for example, this congregation is in transition. And I think the whole world is in transition right now as we all are waiting for better days. We need to be praying for our future. And another way, though, that outlandish language of a fiery apocalypse is written in Revelation, all that cosmic upheaval and all those heavenly signs may just be right for conveying Jesus' central message to folks like us, as we are likely as any people to have ever been described as weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. At our postmodern cultural expectations and modern culture in the mix, and we are prime candidates for having our closed, numb world shaken. Are we really paying attention to those end times, however they may come? In the busyness and overwhelming half-lived lives, Jesus startles us into wakefulness. He says, stand up, raise your hands and your heads, look and be alert. These are more than just tips for surviving of the end times. They are signs to be ready for all times, every change in our life, knowing that the Lord is with us and struggling with us too. We know the theology of the cross. We know that God is with us to the very end. As in all three of the Gospels, Jesus points to the fig tree. But in Luke, he adds, I know all the trees of all times, and any tree will do, because the signs are everywhere, and if we are alive to them, if we're paying attention. Someone once said that the joy is overflowing consciousness of reality. The tree and the text is a symbol of promise, not of a warning impending doom that someday is will be here. For some of us, the signs calling to the kingdom of heaven can be either interpreted as a promise or give us that nervous feeling that we maybe need to get busy and to do what we have to do as people of the promise. The semi-conscious who are sleeping and ignorant of all the things around them are shut off to the great source, two great sources of healing and advent. The grief that actually understands our circumstances, and the joy that calls to us like dreams of visions from tomorrow. Jesus' ministry takes place between the clinging and the yearning, That is also where we find ourselves in Advent. In the time between times, when the veil between worlds grow thin, and when the holy calls us from the world to come. So how can we relate or make a difference as we wait for the coming of the Christ child this Christmas? Well, let us be assured that God doesn't make empty promises. We know that. Whatever God promises will come to pass in one way or another. In a world of hectic schedules that pulls us in different directions, so that sometimes we find ourselves unable to keep promises to even others that we make. It is wonderful to know God sent Jesus Christ in the flesh to keep us in the past, and will send Christ again, somehow, someday. Because God promises to bless the fruits of our labor, the promises to stand beside us and not to desert us, even when things seem to be falling apart. I was reminded, as I'm writing this sermon, that as a child growing up in North Dakota, we didn't have earthquakes. We were really in tune with end times. We said, that's never going to happen in North Dakota. But we surely had threats of tornadoes. And God created the world in a way that we could all tell when bad things were about to occur. And this is the reality. Like before a tornado comes, and maybe some of you have lived this before coming from the Midwest, where the sky seems to turn an eerie green and the world tends to become very silent. No wind, no movement at all. And when the weather is like this in North Dakota, it's time for you to get home. And quickly, because the conditions were ripe for a tornado. I remember that as a kid, vividly walking down the alley and realizing how quiet it really got. It was time to get home, to be alert, and to be ready. And I have to tell you that my faith was always with me and helped me to get through moments like that, knowing that God was with me. If there is devastation in the world, like a tornado or an earthquake or the end times, we know that there are dozens of organizations and hundreds of people filling the needs of the moment and sharing hope for a better future to those who have been affected. And we thank all the first responders for being angels in that moment. But that's the call for us all today. God's promise is made real in the actions of those first responders and people who step in the role of Jesus' disciples. A promise that says, I will not leave you or forsake you. This is the hope that we have every day and the call for us to be available to help share those words of hope during the end times. Thanks be to God. Amen.